James Earl Ray, that's the name. Huh? I was sitting down over here and I could hear Galen Dawson. He was saying, Happy James Earl Ray Day. James Earl Ray. That's what you was hunting for if you was hunting for the Ray family. All right then, is that it? We got it on? Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 7. Now, I appreciate y'all bearing with me till I could get that. That was going to be worrying me, and I don't have my phone inside here. And so all of a sudden, everybody just, boom, there it came, right there. If you're able to stand, let's look in verse number 10. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10, verse number 11. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they've even taken of the accursed thing, and they've also stolen and dissembled, and also, and they have put it even among their own snuff. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to be awakened as a nation. Accept what's right in thy sight and reject everything that's wrong. We want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on a high price for low living. In this lesson this morning, we were talking about Joshua. He had rent his clothes because of the fact that Israel had tucked their tails and run from just a few people compared to what the power of God had been manifested. And they took about 3,000 people, took their enemy Ai for granted, and they went up against it, lost 36 of their own men, and tucked their tails and ran in shame. Now Joshua's upon his face, and he's asking the Lord, Why, Lord, why have we been defeated? Why are we now looking like we're the laughing stock across the country? I want to say that whenever we look into that question there, that every now and again, maybe things that come our way in life, we ought to stop and ask God why, and what's he trying to show us, what's he trying to tell us. Now, in verse number 10, the Lord's about to ask him a question. And he said, Get up off your face, Joshua. Let me tell you, he said, here's what's wrong, wherefore. He said, the problem's going to be sin. Sin is the problem. Get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face, he's asking him. And then he tells him in the next passage that Israel has sinned. You know, the problem's always sin, isn't it? Regardless of what you've done, where you're at, and so forth and on, you're walking with God and fellowship with God and all of that business there. You go to ignoring God and trying to dibble here and dabble there in sin, and it ain't long you'll be walking by yourself or walking arm hand in hand with the devil. And if, by the way, if you're needing an excuse, the devil's got a lot of them. I know, I've used a lot of them. See? You probably have never gotten that low yet, but hey, let me tell you right up front is that there's nothing like walking with God in fellowship with God, and sin will destroy that for you. You remember over there whenever he says God's ear is not heavy that it can hear and his eye that it can't see, but it's your sins have separated between you and your God. Remember that? I want to say to you that number two is, let me show you that in verse 11, here's what we can look at. We can see what sin does. Number one is it breaks the commandment of God, and God's command's always right. Number two is it caused Achan to take the accursed thing. He already knew. He's already warned by the Lord himself. And the spokesman for Israel and Joshua, you better not touch the accursed thing. He already knew that. And yet he thought somehow or another he's going to sneak it in anyway. Notice that, if you will, please, is that sin, it'll cause you to take hold of what you ought not to. And not only that, but he said they stole it. They lied about it. They put it among their own stuff. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, God's got it nailed down pretty good. Obviously, there's nobody at this given point in time in the nation of Israel, though they've been accredited with sin. One man now has brought sin upon a whole nation. Now, here's what ends up happening there in verse number 12 and in verse number 13. Sin will separate between us and God. Notice, if you will, that the Lord's not going to overlook it. In verse number 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. And neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. You need not think you're going to row this problem ashore with sin in the boat. You need not think that. Sin's going to be in the camp, and God said, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Verse 13. He said, but up sanctify the people and sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In other words, God's not going to let you try to see if you can sell him on the idea of sin. You know, God said it, and God's got it settled. And that's the reason why Logan sings that little song. God said it, and God settled it for me. And I'm glad God did settle it for us. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, you'd better discover in verse 14 where that sin is. Now, it's not going to be an easy task when you've got a nation as big as Israel. But here's what God told them. He said, I want you to, in the morning, I want you to bring them out according to their tribes. And then after there's a tribe chosen, then I want you to bring them out according to their families. And then after there's a family chosen, I want you to bring them out by their households. And whenever you get it narrowed down to the household, I want it to come man by man. Sooner or later, you're going to have a personal confrontation and audience with the Lord. Sooner or later. In the lesson that we're looking at, you know, you'll find is that in verse number 16, there, that Joshua now, he rose up early in the morning. Isn't that something? I mean, he's ready to get this thing over with and settled and done. And he brings Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah has been taken. And so now at least he knows what tribe out of the 12 that the tribes that are there, what tribe, where the guilty party's at. Still don't know who it is. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people that are there. Notice, if you will, another thing about him, that not only did he find out which tribe that it is, but now you're going to find out that he's bringing the families of Judah, and then he tells you he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, or Zabdi, however you pronounce that Jewish name. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdiel, he said the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. Now, we're getting it narrowed down. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, I pray thee glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what that thou hast done, hide it not from me. Now, I want to say that when you look into it, that's the remedy for sin. It always calls for confession. Obviously, this man waited too long and went past the point of no return. Achan, in the next passage that we're looking at, you'll find that in verse number 20 that he answered Joshua and said, indeed, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And notice, if you will, what caused him to go this route and round. Verse 21, when I saw the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment. Look at that. Boy, he wanted what Babylon had to offer. And he said, man, I looked at that goodly Babylonian garment, and I'm telling you the truth. Then I noticed 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight. And then I coveted them, took them. Behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver's under it. You talk about an old boy that got obsessed and the devil got a hold of his mind, so forth and on. Joshua sent messengers and said, all right, I want you to go over there and find out if that stuff is there like he said that it was. And certainly they went and they took it. In verse number 23, they took them out of the midst of the tent. They brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Now, you know, there's not anything that's more embarrassing to know you're caught with cookie crumbs on your mouth and on your hands when you've been in the cookie jar and not supposed to be. If you didn't get into the cookie jar after I told you not to, what are all those crumbs on your mouth about? Oh, well, them came off my hand. And what are they doing on your hand? Some of them came off my mouth. See, there's just no good explanation. Achan knew exactly what he had done, knew that he premeditatedly sinned presumptuously against the word of the Lord, and he's trying to hide it from everybody else. And I guess he'd have been all right if God hadn't been looking. God hadn't been watching. Notice another thing that, if you will, please, in verse number 24. Joshua and all of Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and brought them out into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us?" Now keep in mind, and I don't know how many people's there, but here's a man's having to pay, number one, for disobedience unto the Lord. Number two, for 36 dead bodies that got killed when they went out and took Ai for granted. Going to be a high price to pay for this low living that he did. And the Bible said, and I said, "Why have you troubled the Lord this day?" He said, the Lord shall trouble thee. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, and wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, I'm going to tell you something, is that there is a high price to pay for low living. I shudder to think what America's going to face before the coming of the Lord. I look to be on the other side. But I got to tell you right now, there's going to be some of these kids, some of these boys and girls, and they may be grown men and women by then with children of their own. But I guarantee you, sooner or later, it's going to come time to pay. And let me tell you, it's not going to be China and a bill we've run up ourselves that we're going to have to pay. We're going to stand before the Lord and have to pay before him. I got to say to you that I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that our God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. And in the day and hour that we're living in, I'm glad that he doesn't deal like that, because many of us would have already been snuffed out and gone. I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that the severity of God that he exercised upon Israel, and why, we don't know, but I'm telling you, the next time somebody tells you, "What I do ain't nobody's business but mine," that's kind of what Achan thought before they brought his sons out, before they brought his daughters out, before they brought his family out, before they brought all of his goods out. Tell one of them, "Hey, don't worry about it. Nobody's accountable for daddy but him. Your sin will affect somebody else." And make no mistake about it, your sin will finally find you out. Now, you know the best thing in the world to do is be as right with God as you know how to be. And don't mully grub around in the past. You know, listen, if you've got your business straightened up and straightened out with God, be grateful for the fact that God loves you, God's forgiven you. You know, you need not worry about the sins of the past. If you've got them confessed before God, laid out before God, then they've been forgiven by the Lord. And not only that, but he don't remember them anymore. Now, you'll never be able to forget it. Somebody's going to come along, some Einstein someday, tell you, "Well, you know, if you don't forget it, you hadn't forgiven it." You're crazy. There's a lot of things that I have forgiven that I can still remember. That's just the way that it is. I don't have the capacity like God does to forget it and to wipe it from my memory. I've got a few people that I've wiped from my memory. And then every now and again, I'll see one of them. Oh, there they are. Puke, puke, puke again. Oh, I thought you'd forgot them. See, I don't have the capacity to forget like God does. And neither do you. Neither do you. You'll see that down the road in life sooner or later, if you have not already. It's not enough that I just can't remember. It's enough, though, that I've gotten that thing settled before the Lord, turned it over to him. Now just let him handle it. And let me tell you, in due time, he will. Make no mistake about it. All right? All right. If you got a sin problem, confess it to God. Don't wait till God has to come get you and narrow you down. I mean, you know, you'd have thought that that man there, smart as he knew Joshua was, and as much touch as that, you'd have thought whenever he said, all right, I got to run these tribes through here. God's going to tell me which one of them's, which tribe you're in. Judah. He didn't jump up and go to hollering, it's me. No, he waited till the last draw, till they finally singled him out. I got to tell you right now, don't you wait for God to come looking for you. You get it bit and straightened out before God has to move in on your territory, all right? Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We thank you for loving us. Singing and serving the Lord and growing up and being trained for the cause of Christ. Now I pray that you'd bless every family represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. Heal the sick, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name.